Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. Hi, I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on helping you achieve more success in your life. I'll give you the tools and techniques, the strategies and stories, so you can be more confident, more authentic, more empowered. These are the keys so you can have more success in your life. Today, I have a special guest, Nancy Martin, that I met a little over 10 years ago. And I met her at, she was teaching a class at General Electric that I was taking for technology leaders. But I remember actually writing down in my notes on the very first day, Nancy has a lot of energy. And that's what, that was the very first thing that brought me to, into the class going, wow, that we have a speaker. And you don't normally get that in engineering classes. Sometimes engineering courses can be kind of boring, or they don't seem to have like lots of energy. So it was definitely a change of pace and very excited. And so I'm sure that you all will love what Nancy has to share. So I want to tell you a little bit about her bio. Her passion is creating the best work environment for technologists around the world. And I can say, with lots of confidence that she has definitely succeeded in doing this. She's the founder of Nancy R. Martin Consulting, where she develops and coaches technical leaders to grow them into thoughtful people leaders. She trains about 100 leaders each year on a variety of topics, including leadership, communication, trust, and team building. Nancy's also a public speaker on inspirational topics around perfectionism, self-confidence, and organizational transformation. She retired from General Electric and most recently led technical education for the company. During her 35-year GE career, she held 17 jobs, mostly in engineering leadership, and was the head of the Edison Engineering Program, an entry-level program for 1,000 engineers and scientists around the globe. And she's proud of all of her program members and especially pleased to have hired a gender-balanced workforce into STEM roles for 3 consecutive years. And I can attest to this because we did have half of the engineers we hired into the development program were women. And so I was very proud of that too. And I'm glad that Nancy helped champion that. She has 2 children, Jill and Jeff, and is married to a very supportive husband, Dave. But I thought it was really interesting she included in her bio that one of her hobbies was doing the laundry. So, Nancy, you're going to have to tell us, is that really one of the hobbies that you have that you enjoy doing?
Well, it's probably a little less now when the kids are older, but it definitely was a hobby. And that's because I didn't always have time for it. I think that's what makes a good hobby when you're really busy. So there were times when I would take something dirty out of the pile and say, that wasn't as dirty as I thought it was. So, yeah.
Well, I guess it is, you could feel good. You accomplish something and then it makes everyone.
It is. And then I would just have a clean pile and sometimes it would get put away and sometimes it wouldn't. So, it really depends. I'm a little more on top of it, but still not as on top of it as you might think.
Well, so Nancy, this show is called Courage to be Seen. And a lot that, just from a name can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. So what does courage to be seen, mean to you? And is there a point in your life where you really had to make a decision so yourself could have the courage to be seen?
Yeah, well, I certainly know what it's like not to be seen. When I started my engineering career 35 years ago, I would sit in meetings and I started to realize that nobody ever looked at me. Like I was invisible. And that was kind of the first time when I went to work. So I certainly know what it's like not to be seen. And unfortunately, I think that's still probably true. And then certainly I gained confidence and I could talk in meetings. I think the real turning point for me was as an executive, we would always stand up and we exude this confidence. And I realized that I really wanted to be more authentic and for people to see me not as this more finished product, but more as a human being. And so I remember the very first time. So about 20 years ago, I'm very joyous and I have lots of energy, as you said, but I actually got depressed. And it was just, there was too much, you know, I had young children, I was working an incredible amount, and I actually got clinically depressed. And so at some point after I worked very hard to get over this, I decided to share it once. So I talked about it openly and said, you know, my life isn't perfect. No one's life is perfect. Let me tell you a little bit about this story. And I remember when I was done, I felt horrible. I'm like, I just disclosed something that I never should have done. It's certainly going to be seen as a weakness. And I just had this sense of dread. The meeting was over. You know, I did, it was one of these speeches. And then when it was all done, all of a sudden I had this line of people coming to talk to me about that in particular. Thanking me. And then after that, I talked about it openly and, you know, I'm an imperfect mom, you know, and so all of those things, I started to just open up and be more human. And I think that's when I was truly seen as a person. And I think that I'm a better leader for that.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Cause I think it is so true that we want to connect with people. And the only way you can do that is by being authentic. At the same time, especially as leaders, we wanted people to think, hey, you want to follow me, so I have to do everything right. And that's really not the case.
No. And I think that it's probably easier to talk to some groups of people about that. You know, I still think that maybe the people above me might have seen that as a negative. So I'm certainly going to be honest here. But there are, you know, thousands of people that are in the organization that need to hear that, yes, there are ups and downs. Also that I got through it too. How did I get through it? But yeah, you've got to be able to be seen as a real person, because otherwise if you never experience any pain in your life at all, normal people, even like me, you know, would look up and say, you know, I could never do that. You know, clearly they have everything in order. And every day it's, you know, like I said, I'm a great mom and I'm a great employee, but usually never on the same day. Right. So you want to let people know who you really are.
Well, great. Well, you know, one of the reasons I asked you to come onto the show was because as I talk to, especially women and, you know, about what things could I help them with, confidence comes up as a topic just so often, even with people that it amazes me that like they're really stellar performers. And I'm like, and you're having a, you know, so I call it the confidence crisis. I think we're having one. And do you agree with this? And then why would you say that? You know, what is your experience in this area?
Yeah, I absolutely think this is a constant, you know, might be a little bit more even right now. But when I looked at, you know, I had this group of 1,000 people and they're all in their 20s. And what I wanted to do is take a look at, hey, is there a confidence difference even between genders? Does it improve? And so this all started when I was in an HR meeting and I was talking about I was going to hire 50% or gender, some diversity in there. And so I was listening to them talk and they were talking before me about promoting people. And this is all in engineering. At one point I looked up and I realized there aren't any women. So I was an interloper, but I raised my hand and said, you know, why aren't there any women? And the answer came back that, hey, they don't, you know, they're not exhibiting this confidence. And so I remember, and I talked to two other women that got feedback within, you know, a couple of days, plus or minus, of that conversation. And so, you know, certainly it's incredibly important to have this. But what is it? So it's a fascinating topic to me, because like you, if you read on a piece of paper, these amazing people, you're like, why aren't they the most confident people in the world? and they aren't. So I absolutely do think that there's this real gap between what people should be thinking and I think and what they really do.
And how do you think that's limiting people? If they're, I have to admit, I don't think most people would say that Sherry has a confidence problem. That you know, there's a lot of things I've had to work on in my life, but confidence really wasn't one of them that was a major, you know, issue or something that I could point to in my life. So of these people that you're meeting, you know, how is it, do you think, limiting their careers, or how is it holding them back? And because I kind of want to help people understand this so that way they're motivated to why they should even work on this.
Right. Well, it really does hold them back, right? I mean, I was in that meeting and there were names on the board and none of the women's names were moved to the right. So clearly that holds them back. You know, I think there are many reasons why this happens. I think to start with, what I learned was the definition of confidence was different. So that was the first thing. So I started asking people, what does it look like to be confident, right? You look like you're confident. You make eye contact, you speak clearly, but what does it look like? And so men were like, you know, you're very, you know, you pound the table, you know what you want, you're very definitive. And then I asked women and it said, you know, you listen really carefully, you weigh all of your options. And if you can see that, depending on who's even judging you in your confidence, that men and women or just different people will judge you differently. So if you're in a male environment, which as an engineer, of course you are, and they see that you make eye contact, you sit up straight, you sit at the table, you speak, you know, with some authority, people in a male environment are going to see you as confident. You know, where in other environments, you know, maybe they would attribute other qualification, you know, qualities to you. So I think that's a big piece of that as well. So, you know, that's just for starters, but it's incredibly important. And I would say that it's the, especially between the, you know, kind of worker and then executive levels, confidence is really big and it's necessary, right? You have to appear confident, just not arrogant, but confident. You have to really be able to speak well in front of your customers, because as an executive, no matter what role you have, you're selling your organization, you're selling your product and everything. So it is important and it is, and it's being judged all the time.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. It's, and there's really two parts to it. One, you may think you're confident, but others, if you are having characteristics that other people don't see as confident, they might not judge you as confident. So there's that whole judgment piece. And then there is just the self-confidence that you may or may not have that you need to work on.
Right. You know, if you're an introvert, which is totally unfair, you know, and you need to think about what you want to say and you're not the first person to jump in, they may view you as not being confident when that's nothing could be further from the truth. And so you really do have to kind of look at the behaviors of the organization and what signals confidence. I mean, this was a big aha moment for me when I started to realize that there were different qualifications for looking confident depending on who was judging you.
I think it's interesting that you bring up being an introvert, because a lot of people are surprised when they find out that I'm an introvert. Yeah. And I know I am, and I have natural introvert tendencies, but I also know in my career and some of the goals that I have and want to do, I have to overcome them. You know, I can't let them kind of rule how I am, because that it's not natural, or you can't lead a team if you just really want to be by yourself. Right. So things that I have to do. And I think so people need to be aware of that and not use that as an excuse, but just know that that's a challenge that you might have to work harder at times.
It is. I'm what I think they call an ambivert. So I'm pretty extroverted at work. I'm very comfortable there. At home, I go put on my pajamas. I'm on the couch and I would really love to never socialize. Right. So that's where I get all my energy back. So, you know, at the end of the day.
So what do you think are some of the things that limits someone's confidence?
Well, you know, I talk about this all the time. And I, like I said, I've listened to so many people. I think one, perfectionism. So in engineering, I'm an engineer. We attract this perfectionism. And what happens, it's incredibly useful when we're younger, right? Because you bring home your math test when you're five and your parents put it on the refrigerator. You bring home your spelling test like me and, it goes in the garbage. But as you get older, you get 100 and you're rewarded for that. And you get, let's say less than that, an 80 and you're not. And so it's very useful for getting through the next wicket. Where it starts to be incredibly destructive is when you start working. Because there is no, as we know, there's no test at the end of the year to see whether I'm perfect or whether I'm better. And so now we have multiple people judging us with, many different filters. And what happens, I think, is, I think I'm doing a good job, but someone else has looks at me in a different filter. And then perfectionists also tend to take criticism or any kind of comments very, very personally. And so that can start to erode at our confidence. So I think perfectionism does. I think the perfectionism also limits us from trying new things, which again, if you don't try new things, talk about, holding back from, career success, that's a big piece of it. I think there are two other big things, comparison. I notice that people compare themselves to other people all the time. So I'll say, I'm not as smart as that person. I'm not as athletic as that person. I'm not as outgoing as that, whatever you're comparing. But what I do realize is you compare yourself to one quality of different people. No one has all those perfect qualities, right? And so I think that's a big thing. And then I think the other thing, and I always encourage people to really challenge this, we're all walking around with a label, maybe few, that were given to us by the eighth grade boy on the bus, by a teacher, maybe unfortunately by a parent, but we're walking around with these really outdated labels. It could be, not successful, whatever it is, whatever. And we all kind of know what it is if we admit that. And so I think that also, it just really starts to really etch into our confidence. And so the idea of taking an old label and then replacing it with something more aspirational or what you believe, you're no longer I'm no longer the eighth grade girl on the bus who, a boy says something mean, and then I take that to be something, that I need to carry my whole life. So go back and revisit some of those labels. I think those are a few. I mean, there are many, many reasons why that happens.
That's really interesting, because people do forget that you have to take control of your own life and you could actually change that label. It's interesting. I went at a Tony Robbins conference once, and we were in a small group of like three people. And we were talking about, something with goal setting and whatnot and roadblocks and limiting beliefs. And someone in my group talked about they couldn't do something because, something happened to them when they were 12. And the other person in the group looked at them and said, "You're letting something that happened when you were 12 stopping you from what you want to do today?" And it just like, it hit me that I've carried it now with me for, ever since then, because it's like, yeah, how can we really move forward in our lives if we're letting something that happened to us when we were 12 still affect what we do, today?
Right. And there are some people that some people get over the childhood, some don't. And I don't want to, certainly some terrible things happen in childhoods, but it's all about resilience. I think to me, I used to think confidence was all about what I was good at. But then, as you said, you see people with a whole list of things, accomplishments, and they don't feel that. And then the second thing I thought, well, maybe it's just being comfortable with I'm not good at. But eventually what I've really come to the conclusion is self-confidence is about resilience. And so if you succeed, fail, come back, and you have this cycle, eventually, if you really truly know that no matter what happens, you can come back, that means that you're confident. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail, but you can fail, but you'll be okay. And I think that's really what confidence, and it's not steady. Just because I feel confident doesn't mean I'm, level all the time. I'm not. But, you know, I look at this as an equation, by the way, as an engineer.
Why should that surprise me being an engineer?
That's right. But, you know, I would look at it as, you know, if your confidence is much, much greater than your skills, then that's arrogance. And if your confidence is much, much less than your skills, then, you know, you're probably miserable, right? What you really want is you don't want it equal to your skills. You want your confidence to be a little above where your skill level is so that you continue to try new things. You know that you can bounce back. So that's kind of the equation I like. So it's a greater than or equal to.
So you want just a little bit more, but you're right, because you want to try new skills. And if you only could try things that your skills were above your confidence, you'd never try.
Right. And I do think that women, well, you mentor as well. When you mentor women and they say, well, I don't have all the skills that I need. I'm like, well, how about, do you have 50%? You know, could you learn? So you do want to have certainly skills going into something, but you have to allow the opportunity to learn new things. I have met people that say I have 50%. So in my mind, that's 100%. And then some people, and that is you, right, Sherry? I mean, you want, hey, I have 60%. I can learn these new things. Right. And so you aren't afraid to try new things. You're not afraid to fail. You know, I'm sure in your podcast, you've talked about that. So, and how you recover, but what I see you do is say, hey, I can bring this to the job. This is what I can learn. And this is how, you know, and I think I can be successful, even though I don't have everything I need.
And I think people are happiest when they are growing and developing and taking on new challenges. And so if you only did things that you were good at, you would never have that like sense of accomplishment. That's actually partly why I do CrossFit, because, you know, they put incredibly hard workouts on the board. Right. And you look at them, you're like, I don't know if I can do this. But by going through it, right, and just like, okay, I'm going to grind away and I'm going to do this workout, it just gives you that sense of satisfaction. Like, look, I actually did more than I thought I probably could. And it helps reinforce
By the way, that's what I would do with running. I would run out and maybe go a little farther than I thought because there was only one way back.
You have to get back.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, fake it till you make it. And everyone has different opinions. Some people say it's really good to fake it till you make it. Some people say, no, that's not being authentic. You shouldn't do it. I wonder what your take is on that topic, especially around confidence.
Yeah, I think a little of both, actually, because, again, it probably goes back to my formula, right? You do, as women in engineering, if you don't exude some type of confidence, you really won't be seen as confident, right? So there are certain behaviors that you can do, like sitting at the table, even breaking things down into smaller pieces and doing it. I don't believe in totally faking anything because it doesn't wear well and people can see that you're trying a little bit too hard. But I do think that there are actually behaviors that you should, you know, that you want to try to exhibit to help you. You know, one of the easiest things is like how you dress or, you know, how you fix your hair. I don't mean to make this look about, you know, it's not all about appearance, but, you know, I would say that if I'm going to have a big presentation and I go up to the mirror and I'm like, well, I look fine, right? Versus, damn, I look good. You know, so at least I have something. So you want to give yourself an edge at any point. So I would say it's more not necessarily about faking it, but trying to give yourself an edge on just the littlest things.
Well, I even tell people, and it's not all around appearance, but when you are confident in how you look, then that's like one thing you don't have to worry about. So like you should have that outfit that you just love to wear. And you're like, I look good in this. I feel powerful in this outfit. And then that way, when you go into that meeting, that's one less thing. And you can have that confidence kind of like ready for you.
I couldn't agree with you more. Right. Right. It's really, it's taking some things off your plate that you would normally worry about and trying to give yourself, like I said, those little edges that you can do.
Well, I hate to say it, Nancy, we're almost out of time. I think you and I could talk for a long time on this. Yeah. And I would actually love to maybe have you on again one day to talk about perfectionism, because I am definitely a recovering perfectionist.
I'm a recovering perfectionist as well.
So how could people reach you if they wanted to learn more about what you're doing or potentially work with you in the future?
Sure. Well, LinkedIn, certainly. Nancy Reese Martin, as in the peanut butter cup. And then my email is nancyrmartin.com. No, that's my website. Nancy@nancyrmartin.com is my email. So it's all my name. And you can find all that on LinkedIn.
I really do appreciate you coming on the show today. And if anyone wants to contact me, my website is couragetobeseen.com. There you can find my contact information. And make sure if you've enjoyed this that you subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. That way you make sure to get a notification when the next show is on. I also post daily motivational messages on Facebook and Instagram. So you can follow me there and continue to get those. So just remember that as you are being authentic and having the courage to be seen, you know, it just brings up more joy in your life. That's what I have found by allowing myself to be seen of who I am. And it's actually helped me be more successful, but more happy. And that's really what I think we're all here to do. And so until next time, I thank you for joining, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.